from WFIU in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm Kate Young, and this is Earth Eats.
Our overall mission is to grow a variety of food that is adapting to the changing climate.
This week on our show, we explore two approaches to sustainable agriculture, working with nature to grow food. One in Puerto Rico and one here in Indiana. We visit a kimchi stand at a farmer's market in North Carolina, and Harvest Public Media brings us stories about black farmers in Oklahoma and in Iowa, and a row crop farmer experimenting with new methods. That's all just ahead in the next hour here on Earth Eats. Stay with us. Earth Eats is produced from the campus of Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. We wish to acknowledge and honor the indigenous communities native to this region and recognize that Indiana University is built on indigenous homelands and resources. We recognize the Miami, Delaware, Potawatomi, and Shawnee people as past, present, and future caretakers of this land. A couple of years ago, I had the chance to visit a farm with a holistic vision founded on the principles of permaculture. Sobra Mesa Farm is located in South Central Indiana, just outside of Bloomington. The farmers, Juan Carlos Aranga and Robert Frew, had a larger vision in mind when they started their farm more than 6 years ago. Robert Frew shares the story.
That really started with one person, and that was Lucille Bertuccio. And she was a guiding light for us in understanding the importance of land conservation and caring for wildlife and for an appreciation of native plants. So through her, we started this journey of really recreating ourselves and deciding that, hey, we could probably do something more than what we were doing with instead of just a backyard habitat, why don't we create a very large piece of land that's a habitat that grows food and has animals, and that we can also create this sense of community around us?
We love food and community. I come from a Latino culture, which is very important to be connected with people. And food is one of the best things, you know. And that's why also we named the farm Sobre Mesa. In my culture, after you finish eating, you stay at the table and chatting, you know, gossiping, things like that. And that's like Sobre Mesa, that's what we call Sobre Mesa. So that's why we are growing all kind of food here and connected the food with the community. So we have the market here, events. We have guests coming. Also, we thought it would be unique. We learned that from the Amish. Is you go to their farms and they harvest for you there. And that's what we do here at the market. People come and we harvest for them. They see the produce and they can choose. I want that a tomato. And it's a good way because the food becomes something else, not just an item. It has history, love, sharing information, and you get to know that person that is eating your food. So it's really great.
So you haven't already harvested for the market. It's as people come, you might just go out into the garden and pick things.
Some of the things we do harvest early in the morning, but we have some chairs. So when they come here, they breathe and they wait. Or they come with us. So it's an adventure, I would say. You need your time, and that we also they meet other people who are, you know, buying stuff from us here. It's an event, I would say, too.
The market's on Sunday from 11 to 6, and we open the gates at the road and put out signs and wait. I think that it's a way for people also to better connect with their food, because they meet the farmer, they see how it's being grown, and they see the entire ecology of the piece of land around the food. We wanted a central feature at the farm, and we decided, since we were both into refurbishing and salvaging things, that we would find a barn that was going to be torn down that we could rescue. So we found one up in Dyer, Indiana, and we hired a Amish crew to disassemble the barn, put it on trucks, and bring it here and reassemble it in mostly the same way that it was, with a few alterations. We got together with a sound engineer from IU who suggested that we remove one of the lofts in the barn that had originally been in the barn, and then to eventually create a solid surface floor, which would help with better acoustics in the barn, because our goal was to have concerts there and different musical events. Yeah. And really to help educate people, which again, this was part of the mission that we're carrying on from Lucille, and to help people connect with a piece of land, to understand the heritage of farms in Indiana, and in the case of the barn, the importance of conservation, of preservation, of an important piece of architecture that really roots us here.
Sobra Mesa also offers two lovely Airbnb spaces, and they host campers, interns, and woofers, people who travel to live and learn on organic farms. And they've connected with the local elementary school in Unionville.
They have a really an amazing idea for the whole school and theme. It's called Earth. And they have a garden. I mean, that school is amazing. And we prepare a workshop to create a mound. It's a Hügelkultur is the word that they use in German, but it's pretty much like a big raised garden using some materials you have right there on your place. And there were 60-something kids, and they were fantastic. Oh, we loved it. There was a seven-year-old who came to me, I could do this for the rest of my life. And that really was the best, yeah.
So they built the mound?
We divided all the kids in three groups. The ingredients we had was branches, paper, soil, cardboard. So they all went through the whole process. They used shovels and old tools, wheelbarrows. They work incredible, yeah. I told one of them, you're hired, yeah. Because they didn't want to stop. They went on and on. Yeah.
They also hosted a group once called Reimagining Opera for Kids, presenting a food-themed opera in the refurbished barn for a group of students from Unionville Elementary. There's so much happening at Sobra Mesa Farm. Too much, really, to cover in one episode. But we'll check back with Robert and Juan Carlos later in the show to hear about why they keep a special type of fowl on the farm. I'm Kate Young. This is Earth Eats. Stay with us. As promised, we're back at Sobra Mesa Farm. Juan Carlos and Robert have an integrated approach to farming. No component of the farm works in isolation. For instance, they've planted a pollinator zone near the road with native flowers, attracting bees, insects, and birds. The birds keep the cabbage moth caterpillars off the broccoli and kale. Systems work together. They keep chickens for eggs, but they also contribute manure. They scratch up the soil in the garden beds and keep bugs under control.
But the ones that are totally, totally out, working and making noises, it's the guineas.
They also keep guinea hens.
The main gift to us is the control ticks. We used to have so many, many, many here, and now we have less because of them. They wander. They can't be really contained. They are free spirits, I'd say. They even go to the neighbors, and we have to try to bring them back here.
But then do they come in at night to have shelter?
We did train them to go into a coop, but essentially their food and water, for the most part, they get out on the land here as they're wandering around and eating a lot of ticks.
Yeah, I would just think that predators would be a problem if they're out wild, but maybe they've realized that it's good to come inside.
Yes,
They know that, yeah. Like last night, for example, I was busy emailing people about the market on Sunday, and it was already dark. They were calling, hey, come, close the door. So after I closed the door, they were totally silent. This is the house of the guineas, and now it's time for them to come out.
The guineas are black with white speckles. They're larger than chickens, with almond-shaped bodies and tiny heads colored bluish-white and red. They're quite striking. As we walked around the farm, I noticed the guineas in the tall grasses, stretching their necks to the tops of the stalks.
And that's, and ticks love to be on top of the grass, so...
So that's what they're eating. They're not eating the seeds.
Mm-mm. No.
That's great. I noticed one of the birds making a lot of noise on top of a large covered bale of straw.
So they like to go on a high spot and tell the others that everything is fine. So after that, he will go there and another one will come here, another spot.
That's amazing. Yeah. They're really cool looking.
Oh, I love them, yeah. They're noisy, they are, but they're so fun to watch. The way they run, they play, it's like kids. Oh, yes. They chase each other and you think they are going to kill each other, but so they go, they're very close, so the other one, so goes back, so this one goes again, hey, no, come follow me again or chase me again. It's like they could go on and on and on. And their babies are so cute. Have you seen the babies?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. They look like a little chipmunk.
So you said you don't eat the animals, but do you eat eggs?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And what about the guineas? Do they lay eggs?
They do, yeah. They have a short period. They start like end of April until September. That's it. We collect the eggs and we sell them at the market. They're really rich, especially if you...
Are they smaller?
They are smaller, yeah. But in comparison with a chicken egg, they have a bigger yolk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not much of the white. So for baking, yeah, they're great.
Juan Carlos says the guinea eggshells are hard as a rock and light brown in color. We have photos of the guineas and a few other snapshots from Sober Mesa Farm on our website, so be sure to check it out, eartheats.org. Sober Mesa has continued growing and selling food throughout the pandemic, with a few changes to their model to keep everyone safe. Juan Carlos shares stunning photography from around the farm on Instagram. You can find them at Sober Mesa Farm. We'll have a link on our website, eartheats.org. That's it for our show this week. I'm Kate Young. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Take care.